You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kastrins, joined by Jason Beck. And the Tigers, boy, we've seen it before from this team. A veteran team, a been there, done that kind of team. A lot of leadership, a lot of proven performers in the clutch. And they really stepped up at this point in the schedule where, three games at home against the Royals and three against the Indians, and they won five of the six to once again assert themselves at the top of the AL Central standings. And you know, you look at their schedule going forward, and you look at the just kind of the way things are trending, and it's easy to believe they might hold on to that spot. But let's bring him back to talk about it. Jason, do you just see, we talked a little about last week, the confidence in this club that was shaken a little bit in August, but I'd have to imagine after the way the last week has gone there, they have to feel pretty good about the way things are trending.
Yeah, I think to some degree, these guys were waiting for the Royals to come in. I got that sense talking with you guys, and they certainly performed up to that. It took a tremendous outing from James Shields to kind of shut them down there. And then, just when you wonder about a letdown, against Cleveland, even though, Cleveland's still on the periphery of the race, they come up with some pretty good games. It took some comebacks there, but you get the sense with this team, and I kind of get this sense, kind of had this sense for a few Septembers in a row here that, that these guys know how to concentrate their at-bats and hone their focus when they know the games mean the most. I think, Torrey Hunter called it September, so, they're kind of taking the playoff-type focus in September right now. Just as you thought they were able to, but you wondered if they would.
Yeah. Well, looking at this coming weekend, a chance to maybe nail it down in Kansas City, a team they've played so well against. As we sit here today, as we're recording this, Lobstein's scheduled to start that first game in Kansas City, but, there still remains a possibility of working off the off day and having their big guns, having Verlander, Scherzer, Purcell lined up for that series. There's kind of pluses and minuses to that, obviously, but those guys are more experienced. But at the same time, do you want to take the opportunity to give them extra rest before what you hope is a long October? What's kind of the thinking there, do you think, as we get close to the weekend?
Well, Brad's not tipping his hand, Brad Ausmus, but I'd be awfully surprised if we saw Lobstein starting a game in that series. I think, there's just too much on the line, and I think there's too much benefit to moving guys up. The one factor you wonder about is Verlander kind of had kind of that blah look to his pitching on Sunday, where just, the fastball didn't look like it had a whole lot of life to it. The secondary pitches, there was movement, but the command wasn't quite there. He had kind of that look where you wonder if maybe he could benefit from an extra day off, but the risk reward there. I gotta think that if they move everybody up and just give him a chance to kind of take care of the Royals and get that done, and then kind of address extra days, in that final week of the season if they have the chance. It's entirely possible, and I wrote about it on Sunday, that, if Anibal Sanchez stays on track, you might not even need Lobstein for a start the rest of the year. If you can get him back in time to be ready when they need a fifth starter, I think that last Tuesday of the regular season.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, Sanchez at one point was written off for the rest of the year, but he's been doing his long toss. He's progressing to bullpen sessions this week. He has nowhere to get stretched out at this point in a game situation, aside from these artificial simulated games they could put together. But certainly a big turnaround in possibility of seeing him again before year's end.
Yeah, at first there was a stretch there where I just thought, they're kind of checking to see if there's any possibility. And I thought, they're just kind of going through the motions. And just just when I was about to kind of downplay the possibility, you know, just Sanchez does not only starts making progress, but you start seeing some real enthusiasm about how he feels and about the possibility of getting back. I think this is as upbeat as I've seen him, you know, since before the injury. When he was working his way back before, he was optimistic, but you didn't quite see that enthusiasm. He's kind of bounding around and thinking that he's got a chance to really, you know, work his way back into the picture here and actually be ready for, you know, just to start at the end of the regular season and play a role in the postseason now.
If the Tigers hold on here, Ausmus is going to have, you know, one of the more interesting dilemmas, if you can call it a dilemma, of any manager in baseball, just looking at the rotation and how do you line that up. And it's something we talked about right after they acquired David Price. You know, you got Price, Porcello, the way he's pitched this year. Scherzer obviously is a lock. Scherzer and Price are definite locks, but Porcello has obviously pitched himself into that postseason rotation picture. And then you look at Verlander, he's still not his old sharp self, and that's understandable given what he's pitching through. But you know, it's going to lead to a hard choice for Ausmus. What's to do there in the rotation? But I don't think we've talked about this, Beck, but what's your opinion on the idea that's been floated? I believe Matthew Leach, our guy Matthew Leach, wrote this for Sports on Earth last week. The idea of Verlander as a postseason ace, a la Tim Lincecum 2 years ago. Is that something that's even remotely on the table, or how do you think that plays into Ausmus's mind?
I think it's an intriguing possibility. I think it's kind of, you know, while Sanchez has been sidelined, it's been on the back burner, you know,
right,
until fairly recently. It didn't even look like, you know, you would have an option there as far as how to slide your rotation. I think a lot of it's going to hinge on, you know, can you get Sanchez ready in time to get two starts in that final week? I don't know if one start is enough to judge him on postseason readiness. I think if you get him one start, then to me, you almost have to look at Sanchez as a guy you bring in, like a piggyback reliever or you know, or that one or two winning guy in October. If you can get him two, you give him that second start to stretch out a little bit, see if he can go six innings. I think that makes a world of difference in your mindset. And I think Sanchez could do either one. I think Sanchez is pretty flexible that way. I do think Verlander could be that type guy. It would be interesting to see what that fastball would be like if you give him a single inning. You know, I guess, you know, if you look back to KC in that All-Star game a couple of years ago where he threw 101, you know, I don't think he could do that. But, you know, I think you could certainly see like a 97-98 out of him. The question is, and I've noticed this the last few starts with Verlander, is can you get him ready to a point where he is sharp from pitch one? Because it seemed like the last few starts, you've seen an awful lot of fastballs that are like 90 to 91. And I don't think that's entirely, you know, just a matter of pacing himself. I think he's trying to look and to see what he's got when he goes out there the first time. He's exploring and kind of gauging to see what pitches are working on that particular day. And that's a little scary for me when you're talking about, you know, a guy that you're debating whether to bring in as a reliever in tight situations.
Yeah, it used to be his MO early in games. Don't want to say playing around, but you know, feeling things out a little more and then bringing down the hammer late. Whereas I just don't think he's physically in a spot to do that, to have that mentality and that mindset anymore. But back another issue, and this is, you know, maybe an underrated issue or maybe people are starting to pay attention to it, but Alex Avila and just the number of hits to the head this guy has taken the last few years, and now we're at a point in the season where, you know, early September he gets the foul tip off the mask in Cleveland and misses a few games. It sounds like he's dealing with a little lightheadedness as we speak here today. You know, this is a guy who's obviously a big part of what they do behind the plate, and calling the games with these guys, but also, you know, he's had his big moments. He had a huge home run in the Saturday game against the Indians. He had that that jumping catch against the net last Friday. But you got to worry about this guy. He's taken so many knocks to the skull. You wonder about his long-term health, obviously, and you also wonder about his availability for October and how that might play into this. What are your thoughts on him at this point?
This has been a huge discussion in Detroit the last couple of years, just watching the physical beating he's taken and just the frequency of the head injuries. I think this is at least 3 years now where he's had at least, one episode. And this is the second one this year, really. And it's the second one, more importantly, the second one in a short period of time. And you can tell the way that Brad talks about, Alex Avila in his situation that he's worried about. And this is the guy who caught 17 years in the big leagues and expects that he did have some concussions along the way and had to play through them. And I think Brad, looking at that from his perspective, is really worried about this. And I think he's trying to use an abundance of caution. Long term, I think it's huge. And I think a lot of Tigers people are concerned about this. For one thing, he's part of the family. His dad is the assistant GM, as a lot of people who criticize Alex Avila are quick to point out. But secondly, he's not even 30 yet. He's had a number of concussions, and you wonder what can be done to protect him here. And it was a weird setup on Sunday, just because there wasn't one of those obvious foul tips or anything that knocked him over. He had to pick off. He got picked off at first base, and the swipe tag at first kind of got him in the noggin. And he stood up, and if you watch the replay, you look at him, and it's like he's a little bit, I don't know if shaken up or just he had to kind of get his bearings there for a second, it looked like. And then later on, I guess he took a foul tip, the foul tip was so uneventful, I don't know if any of us even noticed when it happened. I'm sure people caught it on TV. But then when you hear about headaches as he's stepping to the plate, in a key situation like that, I mean, that's scary stuff. Even if it's just lightheadedness now and he's not showing concussion symptoms, this is when you start accumulating stuff like this in a short period of time, you wonder if he might be one of those guys where, if they were somehow able to clinch early, if they give him a few days off and just kind of let him clear his head. They've done a lot of stuff with him the last year or two to try to ward off head injuries like this. He's got one of those cooling helmets that he wears, after he takes any impact off the head. It's one of these, I guess, a state-of-the-art type of system there. No, he's got other ways to measure. The trainer watches him like a hawk after things happen, which is, kind of makes it a little bit surprising this kind of got through. But at some point, they can only do so much, and you got to wonder if maybe resting him here and there might alleviate some stuff.
Yeah, and he's got the right guy in his corner in Ausmus, who obviously has been there and been through some of these issues himself. But yeah, I think it is the cumulative effect that ball in Cleveland really dazed him. He really looked dazed and confused after that. And then a week later, they had more of those issues, as you mentioned, the swipe tag and another foul tip. You just worry about the guy. So we're all pulling for him just as a person. He's a good guy, been a big part of this Tigers team the last few years, and certainly hope he can be at full health and capability, assuming the Tigers do nail down this division, which, as we sit here today, they're in really good shape to do that. So I want to thank Jason Beck for joining us, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras Detroit Tigers Edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.